The government sold a chunk of AIG, but Uncle Sam still owns most of the company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. The Treasury Department has sold 200 million shares of AIG stock at $29 apiece. The sale made a small profit for taxpayers who bailed out the insurance giant to the tune of $180 billion. But taxpayers are still left holding much of the troubled insurance giant. Marketplace's John Dimsdale reports.
The government earned about $50 million by selling AIG shares slightly above the price it paid back in 2008. That means the taxpayer's stake in the company drops from 92 to 77%. Treasury's Acting Assistant Secretary for Financial Stability, Tim Massett, is the administrator of the TARP bailout program. He says earning money was not the goal.
We didn't want to do this, but we had to do this. The government isn't a hedge fund. We're not trying to make investments to make a profit.
AIG has restructured and earns enough now to set aside reserves to cover future insurance losses. But analysts worry it's been a particularly bad year for insurance companies. Between the tsunami in Japan and tornadoes in the U.S. and other natural disasters around the world. Still, the new CEO of the company hopes to be rid of its government sugar daddy by mid-2012. In Washington, I'm John Dimsdale for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Yeah, markets are higher right now. The S&P up about a third of a percent. The NASDAQ up half a percent. The Dow now up 40 points, 12,395. European markets slightly higher as well. Orders for durable goods in April fell by the biggest amount in 6 months. Businesses not buying as many pieces of equipment or heavy machinery. Home mortgage applications rose for the fourth week in a row as well. According to new census data, people aren't moving around the country like they were before the economic downturn. People are moving less now than at any time since the Census Bureau started tracking migration patterns. Kenneth Johnson is a senior demographer at the Carsey Institute at the University of New Hampshire. He's with us now to talk about it. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
What are the economic ramifications for decreased migration?
Migration has always been one of the ways that the United States has adjusted its labor force. It's a way to move skill and talent and muscle around. So slowing of the migration streams probably complicates the recovery. Also, migration creates opportunity as well. So in areas that have gained a lot of migrants, that means there has to be new houses built, there has to be new infrastructure, so that creates lots of jobs. It also fuels future economic growth by increasing the tax base. So for states that have been used to receiving lots of migrants, like Florida, the dramatic slowdown in the amount of migration would hurt their economy. In contrast, the states that have been losing lots of migrants, like the northern Rust Belt states, probably helps their economy a little bit, not to lose so many people.
Is it just as easy, Kenneth, saying, you know, when times get better, the migration will pick up again?
You know, that's a really good question, and I think that this recession may have sobered a lot of people about moving. You can see it in dual wage earner households, where in the past, if somebody got a better job offer someplace else, the family might move thinking, well, the other person will get a job and we'll be able to do okay with the house. I suspect this time we may see more reluctance of the people to move and the migration rates to be slower to pick up than they have in the past.
Certainly some interesting stuff. Kenneth Johnson, senior demographer over at the University of New Hampshire. Kenneth, thank you.
Nice talking to you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By Novo Nordisk, since 1923, committed to diabetes care and areas of unmet medical needs at NovoNordisk-US.com. And by LendingTree, providing up to 4 loan offers from a network of lenders. Learn more at LendingTree.com or 1-800-555-8733.
Today is International Geek Pride Day, which of course recognizes the inner geekdom in everyone, especially those who revel in introversion and the fact that high school wasn't all about the parties. Alexandra Robbins writes about how geeks may have been tormented as kids, but when they grow up, they tend to have the last laugh. Robbins wrote the book The Geeks Shall Inherit the Earth, and she's with us now. Good morning.
Good morning to you.
How does one's social skills as a student have anything to do with their abilities later on in life as an adult?
My research shows that just because you're popular doesn't guarantee any sort of success or satisfaction in adulthood. In fact, it means just the opposite. I call it the quirk theory, and what it means is that many of the differences that cause students to be excluded in school are the same traits or skills that others will admire, value, or respect about that person in adulthood and outside of the school setting.
Do we have any examples, Alexandra, of who embodies this quirk theory?
One is J.K. Rowling, who has said that she was bullied in school because she was a daydreamer who had her nose in books. Well, she has gone on to create a world of outsiders.
Harry Potter, of course.
Yes. Another one is Lady Gaga. When she was in school, students called her a freak and made fun of her eccentricity. Well, now she's one of the most powerful celebrities in the world for precisely that reason.
Is the dynamic of popularity changing, do you think, in today's social media mecca? We have Facebook and Twitter and all these different ways of kids getting in touch with one another, right?
Yes, definitely. High school today is not the high school of a generation ago. Facebook basically means that students feel like they have to be their own publicists, updating their statuses and changing their photos. It's really exhausting. It's as if the cafeteria follows you around 24/7, which is why I call Facebook the online cafeteria.
Were you popular in high school?
I wasn't a member of any one group, and I was also a dork, and still am.
you and I have a lot in common, Alexandra. Alexandra Robbins, the author of The Geeks Shall Inherit the Earth. Alexandra, thanks.
Thanks.
And finally, a judge has set a hearing for next month to determine whether the government will have to pay for a rare Ferrari wrecked while in police custody. The sports car was stolen from a Pennsylvania dealership in 2003. The FBI recovered it in Kentucky and kept the car as part of an investigation. When an FBI agent and assistant U.S. attorney were driving it to a new location, the car mysteriously fishtailed on a curve, hit a tree, and was totaled. The insurance company says the government owes it $750,000. The government says it's not going to pay. The men involved in the accident, well, they're keeping their lips closed. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Cigarette rolling shops offer cheaper smokes, but they're not technically cigarette makers, which means they don't technically pay taxes.
They make a profit off of the cigarettes that are being made, and they make a profit off the fact that the cigarettes are being manufactured in their store. To us, that meant that they were in the business of manufacturing cigarettes.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Why the DIY cigarette shop may go up in smoke. The story next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.